But
hello, I'm Bill Curtis. You're listening to KBOO Portland. It's time for the Ubu Hour on KBOO.
You will now listen to my voice. My voice will help you and guide you still deeper into
the Ubu Hour.
With every word and every number, you will enter a still deeper lair, open, relaxed, and receptive.
Go deeper. On the count of three, there will be a message for you of great importance. One, two, three.
Come, let's get out of here.
Я твой слуга, я твой работник.
Bobby Newforth, PR flack for Macy's, is showing Adrian Frogwart how the store's shopping experience has been updated in the year 2034.
Thank you for deciding to write a feature on our all-new stores, Mr. Frogwart. I think you'll find that Macy's is now heavily on the cutting edge of advanced technology.
What kind of advanced technology? Like Disney people movers to take customers around the store in little cars on rails?
No, but that's not a bad idea. I've got to remember that one for our next board meeting. But I'm talking about other kinds of changes we've made. Take security. Old technology was clipping gizmos into clothing that will trip an alarm system when taken from the store by a shoplifter. The way the new system works is a laser grid which detects stolen merchandise. A robot arm at the exit then frisks the suspect to find out where he or she has hidden the goods on his or her person. Once found, the robot pulls the merchandise back into the store, gooses the thief out of the store, and stuffs him into a vehicle that will whisk him to a police station. With this system, there's no longer any need to use big security gorillas to wrestle shoplifters to the ground, smack them around, and cuff them, something that can scare the store's more squeamish customers.
Interesting.
Right now, we're on the third floor in the fashion department, and we're approaching one of our most advanced high-tech marketing systems, the interactive mannequin. We call this one Elizabeth. Move closer. Watch what happens.
Okay.
Hello.
Wow. She talks.
I'm Elizabeth, but you can call me Liz or Beth. It's all good with me. I'm wearing a V-neck lace sheath dress from Calvin Klein. Do you like it, Adrian? Do you mind if I call you Adrian? Do you?
No. Go right ahead.
Under my dress, I'm wearing absolutely nothing.
Yeah. Hey, that's really nice.
Wait, she's only begun.
Adrian, wouldn't your girlfriend, Sandra, look great wearing this dress at your magazine's next company cocktail party? About five sizes larger than this, of course. She being shaped like a Romanian dumpling. Think what a great impression it would make on your editor, Ed Bailey. He's hot for Sandra's chubby, nubile body, as you may know. This dress on her could end up landing them a date and you a promotion. Adrian, who knows? And it's on sale for only $188.
Wow. But how does she know? How does she know?
Should we put it on your credit card, Adrian? Tancredo Frogwart. Visa number 822135977776. Security code 223.
Bobby, how does she know all of that?
Facial recognition software. She's got a camera and a Wi-Fi connection built into her. Pretty neat, huh?
But my name... My girlfriend's name, my credit card number, how...
She takes a picture of your face, runs a comparison scan, matches it against photographic records she finds at the Department of Motor Vehicles, the Passport Bureau, your college yearbook, military service records, prison records, bar mitzvahs, selfies, appearances on American Idol, yada yada yada. Takes only a few milliseconds. She harvests from those records your income, religion, sexual quirks, and a ton of other stuff. Then, voila. It's like she's known you for years.
Just think how sexy Sandra will look in this dress, Adrian. Hey, seeing her in something like this could spice up your lagging love life. Please step a little closer to me so I can whisper something in that darling little ear of yours.
Oh, okay. But how do you know so much about my lagging love life?
Sandra's favorite perfume by Yves Saint Laurent is on sale today. Why don't we include that in your purchase? Only $140.
Bobby, something strange seems to be happening. My gut is telling me to buy that dress and the perfume, yet I know rationally I really can't afford it.
That's the pheromones at work.
The what?
Pheromones, like sex hormones, only instead of them being generated by your balls, the body secretes them, and they affect how other people relate to you.
Oh, a kind of influential sweat.
Yeah, I guess you could call it that. Pheromones produce a sexual attraction, but our research has discovered that they also encourage irrational purchases. When Elizabeth whispered to you, she was spraying you with her artificial pheromones.
Oh, is that legal?
Our lawyers have checked it out and tell us it's not even close to being un-American. No known laws against it.
Oh, that's pretty low. How did she get access to all those databases? I thought that kind of data was private.
FBI.
FBI?
Yeah, not so loud. They give us access to their files, and in exchange, we give them the skinny on any terrorist Elizabeth happens to spot. Hey, I'm getting a code blue on my phone about some terrorist midget in the toy department on the second floor going berserk. I've got to check that out. Be back as soon as I can.
Bye, Bobby. Hey, Adrian. What would I have to do today to convince you to buy the dress I'm wearing? Perhaps we could meet at a quiet little cafe after I get off work to discuss your best options. The perfume and this dress in her size could be a nice little gift for Sandra in case she raises questions on touchy subjects. Like why you're getting back so late from work, smelling like pheromones, if you know what I mean.
Hey, what are you inferring? Getting sexually involved with you? No way! You're nothing but a mannequin. Let me out of here.
An automated mannequin. Adrian, a fully automated mannequin, if you get my drift. I'm able to move in ways that no human woman can.
Goodbye. This story is not going to happen. I don't cheat on my girlfriend, at least not with mannequins.
Give your dog, Bowser, a pat on the head for me, Adrian, and tell your nephew, Bart, to take care. His activities at the Chelsea Clinton rallies are not sitting well with his employers at Burger King. And do come back and see me sometime, Adrian.
It's 2 a.m. A man surreptitiously enters the Macy's fashions department.
Oh, hello again, Adrian. What are you doing here? After hours, and why are you pushing that big waste receptacle?
Shh! I don't want anyone to hear us.
Adrian, the store is empty. Who could hear us? Adrian, why are you grabbing me? Oh, what big manly hands you have. I love it when you put them on my bottom. Adrian, this is very irregular. Why are you lifting me up and putting me in this trash receptacle? Is that your way of saying you think I'm white trash? That's okay if that's what turns you on.
I'm assuming your legs don't move, and this is the easiest way to get you out of here.
Adrian, where do you think you're taking me?
To a motel. Don't worry. I'll have you back by the time the store opens tomorrow morning.
Okay. As you can see, I'm willing to go to great lengths to make a sale. Can we stop on the way to the motel and pick up some burgers and maybe some champagne? And make sure you don't get the dress wrinkled before we get back.
Robot Love has been a presentation of the Ubu Radio Hour. It was written by M. Watson Dodge and performed by...
Becky.
Rob. Larry.
Edward R. Murrow.
Now listen to my voice. Every time you hear my voice, with every word and every number, you will enter a still deeper layer, open, relaxed, and receptive.
On the count of three, there will be a message for you of great importance. One, two, three.
Oh,
jeez, I'm like... It's like the orchestra tuning up before they play.
Yeah, so no, everybody tuned in.
We need this for filler. Yeah. When we need
well, that's a nice waveform.
After the war, we're not sure which one, Americans enjoyed a new era of economic and social prosperity. The citizens of the United States, along with our allies, had joined together to defeat a serious threat to our freedom. Democracy and capitalism prevailed. Well, capitalism at least.
But a free country must remain forever vigilant, for in this period of post-war tranquility, another great threat arose. This time from within, the threat of communism.
Soviet spies and communist sympathizers infiltrated the media, spreading propaganda to millions of innocent moviegoers and radio listeners.
But even more insidious were the traitors who infiltrated the television airwaves on Saturday morning, speaking lies to our children and threatening the American way of life.
This is the story of one such man, a frog, who almost succeeded in turning Times Square into Red Square, the White House into the Kremlin, and NBC into Pravda.
Oh, oh!
Hey, kids! It's the Buster Brown Show!
Hiya, kids! It's Andy's gang!
Yay!
I've got shoes! You got shoes! Everybody's got their shoes! Shoes.
That was simply sensational. And now for another sensational little guy. Yes, sir, that means you, Froggy the Gremlin. You better become visible. Plunk your magic twigger, Froggy.
Hiya, kids. Hiya, hiya.
You little rascal. Tell me, Froggy, what have you been up to?
I've been organizing a fellow Saturday morning kid show host, Andy. I have.
Organizing them? To do what, Froggy?
To throw off their chains of oppression and join the party.
A party? Well, why didn't you say so? That sounds like fun. Who's going?
Now, so far, we have Rudy Kazooty, Winky Dink, Rin Tin Tin, Sky King, and Penny. Pinky Lee, of course. Sergeant Preston of the Yukon. He can see Mother Russia from his backyard. Paul Winchell and Jerry Mahoney. Beanie and Cecil. Heckle and Jekyll. Kukla and Fran. We're still working on Ollie. Captain Kangaroo. Roy Rogers. Sonny Fox. And Sheena, Queen of the Jungle.
Sheena's going?
Yeah, but she'll have to give up a throne. Everyone's equal in our party. They are.
I'd love to go to your party too, Froggy, if I'm invited.
Oh, of course, Eddie. Yeah, you're the guest of honor. You are, you are.
Speaking of guests of honor, we have a special one now. She's a philosopher, novelist, playwright, and Hollywood screenwriter. So, Froggy, you be good now. Because here comes Ayn Rand.
Thank you very much. Today, kids, I'd like to talk about a terrible threat to our nation's...
supply of ice cream.
Supply of ice cream, because I love ice cream and I can't live without... No. A terrible threat to our nation's freedom. It's called...
capitalism.
Yes, it's called capitalism, and it's a terrible system which turns our citizens into unthinking consumers. No, it's called communism, a system that has no regard for human life and where human life is nothing, less than nothing, where you live in constant terror from morning till night, waiting for the doorbell to ring, for someone at the doorbell trying to...
sell you a vacuum cleaner.
Trying to sell you a vacuum cleaner, and you're both terrified and humiliated because in a capitalist economy you can't afford the very product and you help produce. So no, the doorbell rings. It could be someone from secret police coming to arrest you. I know, because I grew up in
Las Vegas.
Yes, Las Vegas. The very symbol of corruption and decay in capitalist society, where the workers don't own means of production, where wealthy and powerful control economy and government. No! Not Las Vegas! Russia! I grew up in Russia and was fortunate to escape, fortunate to come to this great country where a young girl...
could sell herself into prostitution.
Which, admittedly, for someone like me, at least, wasn't half bad. No, don't put words in mouth. I know what I'm talking about.
Well, I know what you're talking about, too. I do. You're a bourgeois, self-centered individualist who couldn't write herself out of a paper bag.
I'll have you know I'm the author of best-selling book. Surely, you've heard of...
The Communist Manifesto.
The Communist Manifesto. Workers of world, unite. You have nothing to lose but your change. No. Why, no. I'm going to... call the police. Call the FBI. Call the Select Committee on House Un-American Activities.
Well, I guess Froggy's done it again. But you know, kids, we're comrades and pals. Yes, sir, and pals stick together. Now, gang, don't forget church or Sunday school. And remember, Andy's gang will get together here at the same time next week. And we'll have another exciting story and lots of other fun, too. So long, fellas and gals.
So long, Andy.
Later that day at Froggy Gremlin's palatial estate high atop the Hollywood Hills.
Oh, Froggy! Oh my, oh my!
Be right back, babe. I will. Hiya.
Hello, Froggy.
Mish, my agent. You got a new gig for me? Well, can it wait? I'm in the middle of something right now. I am.
I'm afraid not, Froggy. This is a very serious matter. One might say a matter of the highest national security. If one were predisposed to making such grand and sweeping statements.
Oh, Mish, please, get to the point.
Your loyalty to the country is in question.
Which country?
Our country, Froggy, the United States.
Oh, yeah, that one.
You've heard of the House Un-American Activities Committee? The Hollywood 10? The Blacklist?
Yes, of course. I have.
Well, it looks like you could be next.
Wow. What do you mean?
You've
Washington to testify, like tomorrow.
Did he say subpoenaed?
Hear ye! Hear ye! This session of the Select Committee on House Un-American Activities will now come to order. Calling to the witness stand, Mr. Froggy T. Gremlin, Hollywood, California. Raise your right hand, please, Mr. Gremlin. Do you solemnly swear the testimony you are about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but
a pack of lies.
A pack of lies. No. The whole truth, so help you.
V.I. Lenin.
V.I. Lenin. No! God damn it!
I do.
You may...
Kiss the chairman.
Kiss the chairman. No, you may sit down.
The questioning began with Mr. Robert E. Strychnine, the committee's chief investigator.
Mr. Gremlin, before I begin, I would like to make it clear to the witnesses, the audience, the members of the press, and other guests here today that this hearing is going to be conducted in an orderly and dignified manner at all times. But if there is anyone here today, or at any of the future sessions of this hearing, who entertains any hopes or plans for disrupting the proceedings, he may as well dismiss it from his mind. Now, Mr. Gremlin, will you state your name, please, for the record? Froggy T. Gremlin, it is.
Is that your pen name?
No, that's my birth name. My pen name is Mike Hunt.
How long have you been employed in Hollywood, Mr. Gremlin?
I started in radio in 1944. I now work for NBC Television. I do.
And you currently work on the television program...
Amos and Andy.
Amos and Andy. My favorite character is Kingfish. No, Mr. Gremlin. You can't get away with that here. You're testifying before...
A clueless idiot.
Yes, a clueless idiot. Stop, sir. Enough. This is serious, and there will be consequences if this behavior persists.
Oh, I apologize, Mr. Strychnine, sir. I do.
That's better. Now, Mr. Gremlin, you are aware that the Select Committee on Un-American Activities is investigating alleged communist influence and infiltration in the television industry. I must emphasize that this is not to be considered or interpreted as an attack on the majority of persons associated with this great industry. I have every confidence that the vast majority of television stars are...
Complete assholes.
Yes, complete assholes. And as assholes... No, Mr. Gremlin, please... As television stars, their words and actions hold sway on all Americans, especially the very vulnerable children of our great nation.
Hooray! We love being here! We're going to be growing up in the USA!
I brought a few along with me today, Mr. Strychnine. I did.
Oh, hail Groucho Marx!
Oh, hail Marty Ingalls!
Hi, I meant no harm.
And the Lennon Sisters!
Turn off the bubble machine. Please turn off the bubble.
I think these children might have been watching a bit too much television and reading comic books, no doubt.
They are.
Mr. Gremlin, we're wasting way too much of the committee's valuable time and yours as well. So let me get to my...
Erect penis.
My erect penis, which is clearly a sign I am erotically stimulated by this testimony. No, sir. My question for you is, are you now or have you ever been a member of the...
Republican Party.
Yes, the Republican Party. Perhaps the most subversive organization operating clandestinely in our country today. No, not the Republican Party. Are you now or have you ever been a member of the Communist Party?
I plead the fifth, Mr. Strychnine. A fifth of scotch, that is.
Mr. Gremlin, have you no...
Pants?
Pants, no. The witness is impossible. I give up, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Strychnine. Mr. Nixon.
No questions, Mr. Chairman.
All right, the first witness tomorrow morning will be, Mr. Duty. Mr. Howdy Duty.
You said Duty.
Fortunately for our future as a free nation, the Select Committee did their job. and sentenced Froggy T. Gremlin to a year in prison. But when federal authorities arrived to take him into custody, he vanished in a puff of smoke. And I wish I could add here, never to be heard from again.
But those kids in the audience of the Andes Gang TV show grew up and eventually reached voting age. All those years of watching Froggy and listening to his propagandist rhetoric took their toll.
In 1968, Froggy plucked his magic twangle once again and became visible, this time to run for president of the United States on the socialist gremlin ticket. His platform included single-payer health care, free public college education, paid family leave, and an end to the war on drugs, a tax on Wall Street speculation, a living minimum wage, a constitutional amendment to grant equal rights to women, people of color, and the LGBTQ community, an emphasis on the development of sustainable energy, and an immediate end to the Vietnam War.
He was elected that year in a landslide over Republican candidate Richard M. Nixon. We take you now to the Capitol steps in Washington, D.C. for his inauguration.
Please raise your right hand. Place your left hand on this copy of Das Kapital and repeat after me. I, Froggy T. Gremlin.
I, Froggy T. Gremlin.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will faithfully execute the office of President of the United States.
That I will faithfully execute the office of President of the United States. I will.
And will to the best of my ability.
And will to the best of my ability.
Preserve, protect, and defend.
Preserve, protect, and defend.
The Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the United States.
So help me.
Chairman Mao.
So help me, Chairman Mao. No! No! God, 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 God!
With that last pluck of his magic twangle, Froggy T. Gremlin disappeared once again. As runner-up in the 1968 presidential election, Richard M. Nixon was declared the winner by default and took the oath of office, ushering in 8 more years, give or take, of freedom and prosperity. America was back on the right track.
As for Froggy, some people swear they heard him say just before he disappeared in a puff of smoke,
I shall return, I will, when America is ready.
Since that cold January day in 1969, there's been no trace of Froggy T. Gremlin. It's now 2016, a year of hope and progress. And, need I add, so far, so good.
Gremlin Time was written and produced for radio by Ken Jones and features
James M. Lawrence,
Twilight Callisti.
I forgot my name.
Yehuda Bangs.
Randy Saucepan.
Martin Dodge.
Ayn Rand.
Arbicours. Larry.
And that mischievous gremlin himself, Rolf Semperbond.
Now, gang, don't forget church or Sunday school. And remember, Andy's gang will get together right here at the same time next week. And we'll have another exciting story and lots of other fun, too. So long, fellas and gals!
You will now listen to my voice. Every time you hear my voice, with every word and every number, you will enter a still deeper layer, open, relaxed, and receptive.
On the count of three, there will be a message for you of great importance. One, two, three.
Oh!
Open your eyes.
So I'd like you to close your eyes.
You came here to ask me questions. Is that correct?
And imagine you're in an elevator.
You will ask me questions.
Why?
You remember my answers exactly. Word for word. Do you understand?
As the doors close.
Yes, your eyelids become heavier.
Good. Now, open your eyes.
And as your eyes become heavier.
You came here to ask me questions. Is that correct?
The elevator begins to go down.
Yes.
You will ask me questions. You will remember my answers exactly. Word for word. Do you understand?
You realize that this
yes.
is the elevator of relaxation.
Good. Now, repeat after me. What did you do with the body?
And now, you're on the third floor.
You will now listen to my voice.
Going down.
My voice will help you.
And you could get out.
And guide you still deeper into Europa.
And now, you're on the third floor.
Every time you hear my voice.
Going down.
With every word and every number.
Going down.
You will enter a still deeper layer. Open, relaxed, and receptive.
You're on the third floor, going down.
I shall now count from 1 to 10.
And you could get out.
On the count of 10, you will be in Europa.
But you want to go
I home. Say...
Deeper.
1.
Deeper.
And as you focus
deeper
your attention entirely on my voice, you will slowly begin to relax.
Deeper. Deeper.
2.
Deeper. Into 2. Relaxation.
Your hands and your fingers are getting warmer and heavier.
And you feel that perhaps you'll never want to get out.
3.
It's so safe here.
The warmth is spreading through your arms.
So comfortable.
To your shoulders and your neck.
So relaxed.
4. Your feet and your legs get heavier.
What did you do with 5. Your body?
It was all a ridiculous mistake.
The warmth is spreading to the whole of your body.
So I'd like you to close your eyes.
On 6, I want you to go deeper.
And imagine you're in an elevator.
I say,
there was nobody.
A wide elevator with velvet walls and thick carpets.
And the whole of your relaxed body is slowly beginning to sink.
And as the doors close,
7, you go deeper and deeper. And
there was no
deeper.
And as your eyes become heavier,
8,
when you awake,
and
all you will
deeper.
Remember is what I've told you.
8,
if anyone should ask,
deeper.
Do you understand?
8,
yes.
On every breath you take,
now,
go deeper.
Take you deeper. Into deeper sleep.
9,
going down.
Relax.
You are floating.
You could get out.
Breathing.
But you want to.
On the mental count of
breathe
10.
Out.
You will be in your
breathing
deep into
there.
Relaxation. Now, listen to me very carefully.
Yes.
And you feel
I say,
perhaps you would never want to get out.
Now, I'm going to take you deeper.
It's so safe.
Into deeper sleep.
So comfortable.
Relax.
So relaxed.
You are listening to the noise of rain beating
breathe
against
out.
A large metal drum.
Breathing.
Go closer.
Listen to me very carefully.
And the elevator begins to go
yes.
down. Good. Now, I'm going to take you deeper. Into deeper sleep.
And as your eyes become heavier.
Relax. Breathe in.
You realize that this is the elevator of
breathe
relaxation.
Breathe out.
The warmth is spreading through
breathe
your arms.
In. Now, listen to me very carefully.
The warmth is spreading through your arms.
Good. Now, I'm going to take you deeper. Into deeper sleep. Relax. Breathe in.
And as your eyes become heavier.
Breathe out.
You will slowly begin to relax.
Breathe in.
2.
Now, listen to me very carefully.
Your hands and your fingers are getting warmer and heavier to your shoulders and your neck.
You came to watch us.
4.
And now you're on the third floor.
Your feet and your legs get heavier.
To spy on us. To feel
5.
Ourselves.
Going down.
The warmth is spreading to the whole of your body.
At no cost. Do you hear me?
On 6, I want you to go deeper.
And you could get out.
I say...
But you want to go on.
Six.
Deeper. Deeper.
And the whole of your relaxed body is slowly beginning to sink.
Deeper. Into relaxation.
Seven.
Going down.
You go deeper and deeper and deeper.
I'm going to take you deeper.
Eight.
Into deeper sleep.
On every breath you take, you go deeper.
And you could get out.
Nine.
But you want to go on.
You are deeper. Floating.
Deeper.
On the mental count deeper. Of ten.
Into relaxation.
You will be in Europa.
And you feel that perhaps
be there
you never
deeper
want to get out.
And deeper.
It's so safe here.
Deeper.
Breathe in.
So comfortable.
Breathe out.
So relaxed.
Breathe in.
On every breath you take, you go deeper.
Into deeper sleep. Relax.
You are floating.
Breathe in.
On the mental count of ten.
Breathe out.
You will be in Europe.
Breathe in.
Be there.
Listen to me very carefully, Asaros. Look at me. At no cost. Do you hear me?
Yes, I hear you.
Good.
You are listening to the noise of rain beating against a large metal drum.
We will share them with you. Watch.
Every time you hear my voice, with every word and every number, you will enter a still deeper layer, open, relaxed, and receptive. And the whole of your relaxed body is slowly beginning to sink. You will enter a still deeper layer, open, relaxed, and receptive.
Hello, this is Francis Frampenstomper. We're here at 2,000 megawatt clear channel KABU Radio Central talking tonight with three, count them, three superheroes discussing the vital topic now on everyone's mind. Is Superman a bully? Defending himself against this charge is the one and only Superman. Soup, how are you today?
Thanks for having me on, Francis. It's been a while since I've been by. Don't get into Portland a lot these days. Did you redecorate the studio recently? Doesn't look quite so much like Hiroshima 1945 as the last time I was here.
We feel honored to have you on our show. I'd like to begin by addressing a question that goes to the soul of the man in the tight blue pants himself. Tell us, Superman, is that your actual birth name?
What, do you want to see my birth certificate or something? I can assure you I was not born in Kenya. I hail from Krypton, not Kenya.
No, nothing like that. We just want to know if Superman is your real name.
No, it isn't. My real name is actually none of your fucking business. So let's drop it, okay?
Well, I just thought the listeners might like to know what...
Drop it, okay? I am not at liberty to divulge that information, and if you persist in asking me, I'll be forced to... In the words of William F. Buckley, break your goddamn nose!
Okay, then. Let's move on. Accusing Superman of being a bully are his superhero colleagues, Rotten Tomato Man and Beer Fart Girl.
Oh, sorry, my bad.
For the record, I do not consider these yo-yos to be my colleagues.
So, Tomato, Gas Girl, what are some of the complaints you have about Superman?
First, I want to correct something. I'm no longer Rotten Tomato Man. I changed my working title to The Red Tomato on the advice of my image consultant.
Me too. I cut way back on my drinking, but I've replaced it by eating more jalapeno jelly and bean burrito, so now I'm intestinal gas girl, not beer fart girl.
Okay, to get back to your question. Well, one of my complaints with this guy is... He's constantly stealing jobs from us. We get a call to rescue a cat up a tree, and we respond, only to find Superman has already been there, gotten the cat to safety and left. What the fuck, man?
What can I say, bruh? I'm faster than a speeding bullet. My super hearing can detect a cat's cries from miles away.
Interesting. Not to digress, but what's the competition for superhero jobs like these days?
It has never been tougher. Every time you turn around, there's a new superhero. What's that one who just showed up at our monthly potluck last week?
You mean Captain Blue Balls?
Yeah, that's the one.
What was his special talent?
I don't recall him ever explaining what he had going for him, only that he prefers holding himself on call for dates that are not going well.
And you, Red Tomato, what's your gimmick?
We superheroes prefer not using the term gimmick, Francis. I go to bad performances and splatter evil speakers, singers, hecklers, and what have you with Rotten Tomatoes. I put one square in Donald Trump's gullet last week.
And my specialties are dispersing rioters, or at least that portion of them who don't carry gas masks. Also, whenever I happen to be in a bank, making a deposit or whatever, I like to break up bank robberies before they get started. I love to see the robbers staggering out of the bank, choking and tearing up. Quickly followed, of course, by bank patrons and workers.
Her farts are enough to make you puke!
Oh, give me a frickin' break, would ya? Farting and throwing tomatoes.
Those things don't impress you?
Just how do they compare with my record of freezing time by stopping Earth from spinning on its axis? Or saving a loaded troop ship from sinking? And those are only two things among the thousands of impressive acts I've performed. Compared to mine, the special talents of these two frauds are like shit and shinola.
There he goes again, bragging about his skills. In his own mind, he's Mr. Wonderful. His mouth is even bigger than Ted Cruz's. We're sick of it. And not so, Superman. Why don't you tell the audience how you often abuse your abilities, like when you use your X-ray vision to look under girls' clothing?
Something I only do when it's absolutely necessary. In those cases, I attempt to first get a bench warrant to make my investigation legal or do it in Colorado, where I've got an arrangement with the judge.
I suppose it was absolutely necessary to do a scan on me when I walked into the studio minutes ago, and that you had a warrant?
And if you're so almighty terrific, how come you had such a difficult time subduing the first son of Metropolis?
Lex Luthor? Well, hell, he had kryptonite. My hands were tied, so to speak. I have long admitted to my allergies to peanuts, gluten, and kryptonite. I never said I was perfect.
Yes, you did.
Well, okay, maybe I have. Aside from those three allergies, I am pretty damned impressive, you gotta admit.
Okay, Gas Girl and Tomato, you've told us that Superman steals jobs from you. Do you have any other complaints about him?
Do we ever? Just a couple of weeks ago, I was waylaid by a crazy band of Middle East terrorists allied with the Crips gang, whose gang colors, as you know, are blue. They beat the crap out of me for wearing my red tomato-shaped hat, my red shirt, pants, and bow tie. Where was Superman to help me?
Hey, what can I say? You couldn't have adjusted your wardrobe to discourage attacks. At the time, I was spending a happy interlude with Lois Lane. How rude would it have been for me to just fly off in the middle of, you know, the best part, to assist some bargain bin fake superhero.
This poor guy, the Red Tomato, was nearly beaten into a snappy Tom before Spinach Man. The Green Avocado and several police cruisers showed up to shoot it out with the Crypt Terrorists.
My heart goes out to you, buddy.
Shut up, asshole!
Superman, would you ever consider apologizing to the superheroes you have supposedly insulted?
Hey, I'm Superman! It's not in my nature to apologize to nobody. It's like, I'm super, and you're not, so live with it!
After I got beat up, this sphincter in spandex actually sent me a mocking note saying tomatoes should never go where Brussels sprouts fear to tread. I guess that was meant to be funny!
And you know what? I'm gonna come out and say it. And I can't stand any of those macho superhero dorks who wear ridiculous capes. The same kind you do. What's with those things anyway? Didn't capes go out of style during the McKinley administration?
You think that silly damn cape creates this big load of panache for you when you're in flight. don't you, Mr. Up, Up and Away?
Well, you've got to admit that cape is pretty damned impressive when it billows out behind me during flight. I look like a veritable American Eagle.
Oh, yeah, listen to him. Clark Kent, the Metropolis Marvel, out to build some kind of gravitas among his loyal followers on the ground. His camp followers who see him doing barrel rolls in the sky and then babble on about birds, planes, locomotives, tall buildings, brick shithouses, whatever. In my opinion, that cape makes you look like some kind of flaming pansy.
Is that the pot calling the kettle a pansy? Kettles are so much more virile than pots. Or didn't you know that, girly tomato man?
Gas girl, tomato, how come you two never learned to fly?
I took lessons, but I washed out of training my second day. Like, who needs to fly to be a superhero? After all, don't I have a hyper-advanced brain providing me with psionic abilities?
Yeah, I guess. But wouldn't you prefer the ability to fly?
Either you're inclined to fly or you're not. I'm not. Forget about it.
Then again, you've got plenty of other special powers, right?
Yeah, like I can make anything out of Legos. And I've got the world's loudest snore. Of course, not as loud as intestinal gas girl's farts.
Hey, once I almost broke Batman's eardrums.
Hey, it just dawned on me. One of you two guys said something about Superman's real name being Clark Kent. What's up with that?
They did? Well, my super hearing must have missed that. I think I'm going to have to reverse time and erase that soundbite. My real identity is top secret, you know.
Ah, bullshit. Everybody's known for years your real identity. Those Clark Kent black framed glasses never fooled anyone. And now how typical of you, threatening to censor free speech.
You couldn't do any censoring anyway, Soup. KABU Radio Central sits on an abandoned kryptonite mine.
Oh my god, no! And here all along I thought I was just feeling the effects of that doobie you gave me before the show, Francis. Oh my god, my secret is out. Yes, I am in truth a mild-mannered reporter. By day, an employee of the Portland Oregonian. But by night, oh my god.
By rights, then, you should be more humble.
Now there's a topic for another night. The disappearance of reporting jobs as daily newspapers go out of business around the country. How does this affect people like George Will, Maureen Dow, Jimmy Olsen, and Clark Kent? But that's all the time we've got for tonight. There will be no phone-in segment tonight, so we don't really give a shit about your opinions on the question of Superman. See you next time. For now, I'll simply tell you that the play, The Revenge of the Adequate Heroes, was written by super nerd in training M. Watson Dodge. The voices of the players were...
Bernie Sanders!
Ayn Rand!
Larry!
Bernie Sanders!
You will now listen to my voice. I say, as you focus your attention entirely on my voice, you will slowly begin to relax. You go deeper and deeper and deeper. On every breath you take, you go deeper. On the count of three, there will be a message for you of great importance. One, two, three.
Boys and girls, it's Uncle Watson again. Here's a bedtime story you've been bugging the hell out of me to tell you, so listen up good. It's called Seuss on the Loose and takes place in a cafe in the small eastern Oregon town of Seussville, an out-of-the-way little shithole famous only for widespread poverty, reported sightings of Bigfoot. All residents, besides speaking exclusively in couplets, have larger-than-average feet. Wookiees, Grinches, and even a Lorax.
Being poor and attracting few visitors, it also has a terrible shortage of places to eat. Just one small restaurant with but one table and one chair currently occupied by a customer, a traveling salesman named Chateaubriand. He has lost his way and ended up in this blighted village. Here comes the waiter to see what he wants for supper. Let's listen in.
Well, hello there, stranger. Hello and hooray. Welcome to our Seussville Cafe, officially named the One Fish, Two Fish, No Fish, Fried Fish. I'm sure I can find you a tasty dish. Our food is quite fresh, or was yesterday. I trust you like horse flesh. It's served from a sleigh.
No horse flesh for me, Chateau replies with dismay. Nay, I doth say, though anything else, most likely okay.
My name, Stan, I am. My mother was Tammy, and I'm a guy with an extra large fanny. Today I'm your waiter. I'm from Yucatani. Strange as it seems, though very uncanny. You may take me for Greek and not Pakistani. I know this may make me sound like an ass, but I do my job with a whole lot of sass.
I appreciate waiters with oodles of class.
I hope I can say that you don't consider me crass. Should my feelings for you be too overblown? Your voice is quite deep, a true baritone, and you reek of wealth and a fancy cologne.
It proves I am macho right down to the bone.
Now that is a topic I suggest you avoid, like talking about a big hemorrhoid.
So, tell me, please tell me, what specials there be? Maybe some pizza or brie with chablis?
Old Yorkshire pudding with the tail of a walrus, served atop beetroots, cabbage, and swamp grass. It's not very good, but the portion's enormous.
It all sounds so yummy. Maybe good for my tummy, and if I am lucky, no gas will I pass. And then maybe later, we can play some gin rummy.
Alas and alack, I take it all back. No walrus we've seen in over a year.
Well, that is a terrible kick in the rear.
Maybe you'd like some lukewarm root beer.
Stanley, my man, I really should sue you. You have no walrus. Cuckoo ka-choo-choo.
You are an Eggman.
I am an Eggman.
You are an Eggman. Cuckoo ka-choo. And I know you're going to simply love a dish that, you know, I'm really quite proud of.
What is this dish, O Stan, I am?
I call this house specialty green eggs flim flam. Green eggs flim flam. Now all the rage. Food that sticks to your toes and rib cage.
Do you serve it on a plate?
I'd say a plate would be just great.
Should I eat it with a fork?
Of course you should. You're not a dork.
Is there something on the side?
When eating something on the side, you run the risk that worlds collide. A man once tried, and that man died.
The food did not with him abide?
Destroyed his spleen, which ossified. Would you like your green eggs fried?
As long as nothing's on the side.
And which of the ways would you like your spam?
I don't give a tinker's damn.
Think you'd like your grilled spam blue? I could do that just for you.
You are getting really silly. Are these green eggs fried with chili?
I'll have to ask the cook.
You have a cook? Where is the cook?
She might be home reading a book.
Then how can she cook?
She makes her stuff the night before, then leaves it here outside our door.
Stan, I am. Are you the cook?
Oh, now you've caught me in a lie. I am the cook, I can't deny. But geez, listen, give me a break, okay? Besides having to say everything in frickin' rhyme and working only for tips, I also wash the dishes, set the table, fill the salt shakers, slop the hog.
Oh, do shut up, you Stan I am. I've had enough of your flim-flam. Next you'll say you're the King of Siam.
King of Siam? No. Though I was once my Uncle Stew, a solid native through and through. He wore a hat like a feathered bonnet and sounded like a Shakespearean sonnet.
Was Uncle Stew an Indian, a Pawnee, a Ute, or maybe a Sioux?
No, he was only a crazy Yahoo. Stew as a name was simply too lame. Stew I am did never ring true, so another name I did pursue. Stan I am, it stuck like glue.
Wonderful.
So tell me, you really want green eggs flim flam?
I'd like to try it if I can.
I hope you have Obamacare.
Yes, it works better than fervent prayer. It keeps me healthy.
Keeps me well. Building up my white T-cells.
Some people I've served way back in the past reviled me and cursed me and took me to task.
Why is that, if I may ask?
They needed a shrink when green eggs unmasked. Neurosis galore that left them aghast.
Oh, come now, good fellow. They'd do that to me? Is green eggs and spam like shock therapy?
You might eat a helping and then you may find your mother, dear mommy, she wasn't so kind. She may have considered you some kind of wart and spent years regretting she didn't abort.
Wait, pause here briefly to allow all you kids to groan. I am now so hungry, I'm taking my chances, no matter whatever the circumstances.
Please do not give me your dirtiest glances.
Give me the green eggs and give me some spam. Let's cut this dumb music and cease this strange dance, for now I am craving green eggs flim flam.
If you insist, please sign a release to keep me at peace with the secret police. The cops you will mollify in the event you choke up and die in this wacky set piece.
Oh, what the fucking fucks that I am. Here's your release.
I realize it's all so much dumb legalese, but my lawyer says to do it, my lawyer Bernice. Green eggs flim flam, the food of romance. Green eggs and spam, like ants in your pants.
Yes, just knock it off with the raves and the rants and give me no more of your cans and your cants.
But before we do cook it in the style of South France, I have to get into a strange kind of trance where I pull out my hair and do a weird prance.
And so Stan I Am danced and danced, clogging, to be exact. Wikipedia says a clogging is thought to be derived from a Peruvian dance called zapateo, a type of folk dance in which the dancer's footwear is used percussively to create audible rhythms. But who the hell cares, and what does Wikipedia know? Do Peruvians even have footwear? And now you can bring me the green eggs flim flam?
Unless you would rather have pretzels and clams.
I will not. I shall not have pretzels and clams, because what I want is green eggs flim flam, Stan I Am.
You should have, you may have, our famous grand slam.
And what would that be, my dear loopy man?
A slice of Velveeta on 3-week-old lamb.
I want none of that shit. I'm sick of your scams.
But consider this, please. It comes with a yam.
Damn your scam, your sham, and your yam, Stan I Am. I'm now going to draw you a Venn diagram. It tells you to get me some green eggs flim flam, or else I'll resort to a battering ram.
Now don't blow your stack or rupture a gland. No seizure that sends you to the promised land.
Battering ram.
You're getting your wish. I'll be back with your dish. It's green eggs flim flam or maybe some fish. You son of a bitch.
No fish, asshole. Green eggs flim flam. You're back from the kitchen, and you're empty-handed.
Sorry, all out of spam.
Prepare to meet your death, Sam I Am.
Oh, that hurt.
Chateaubriand and Stan I Am fought through the night. Worn out by dawn, they shared a bowl of Fruit Loops for breakfast.
Seuss on the Loose was presented by the National Spam Council. Remember, folks, always have a healthy supply of spam on the pantry shelf for when you want some green eggs flim-flam. And no, I have no idea where you can get green eggs. This is your host, Rolf Semprebon. The guy pretending to be Sam I Am and Uncle Watson was M. Watson Dodge, who also wrote this thing. And Chateaubriand was none other than me.
Me.
Wait,
me.
Was it me?
No,
oh,
it was
I was Sam I Am. Okay.
Yeah.
So, the guy pretending to be Chateaubriand and Uncle Watson was M. Watson Dodge, who also wrote this thing. And Sam I Am was none other than me, myself, and I.
Yeah. I do not like green eggs.
want you to go forward in time. Be there on the count of three. One, two, three. You want to wake up, to free yourself of the image of
the Ubu Hour.
But it is not possible.
The Ubu Hour comes to you every first Monday night. If you want to listen to other Ubu Hour radio theater pieces, you can go to www.kboo.fm and look for Ubu Hour. Ubu spelled U-B-U.